God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our sermon series through Lent continues as tonight we talk about being comforted by God when the devil keeps bringing up past sins. This is to continue our idea of God's comfort and God's comfort for you. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have sinned, you have fallen short of God's glory. You can probably immediately recall the many mistakes you have made. And if you're like me, when I remember those mistakes, I usually cringe. I think, how silly of me. Why would I even think about ever doing such a thing? But I did. Tonight, as we celebrate Good Friday, we have the answer to that. When the devil continues to bring up our sins, we look to the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see that body hanging there. We are reminded of the forgiveness of sin. You see, today, or tonight, is a special night. This is the time in which the church celebrates the day, the moment, when heaven and earth actually meet. Everything is sort of drawn to this particular point. The cross, Jesus' death and resurrection, every moment sort of brings upon this day. All history focuses us to this one event, his death. Heaven and earth are suspended in silence, seeing the waiting spectacle of the Son of God dying on the cross. Compared to everything that Hollywood can imagine, this day, this moment, surpasses them all. The angels await the outcome of the struggle for salvation. The rocks sort of seem to explode with the tension. Even the sun hides its face with this dreadful scene. The graves in Jerusalem cannot possess their dead any longer. And the Son of God, the Son of Man, is suspended between earth and heaven, bringing the burden of the one, earth, and the holiness of the other, heaven. This account of our Savior going to the cross gives meaning to our life and the life of the world. But in the majesty of this glorious day, what does it mean to you personally? Where do you sort of put yourself in this passion play? Where do you sort of fit in this drama? Are you one like Pontius Pilate, who is skeptical about the existence of truth, religious or otherwise? Are you one in the crowd, howling for his death and wishing his blood to be upon you and your children? Are you with the soldiers that break his flesh with his back and with the lash? Or are you like Barabbas, whom Pilate released when Christ was condemned instead? Would you consider yourself one of the disciples who would rather run and hide, or the other one who happened to have denied him three times? Or the one who betrayed him for a few coins? Where are you in this story of salvation? The great mystery is that, strangely enough, whatever character you picked, you are 100% correct, because you are all of them. It's kind of easy that in today's world, being 2,000 years from this event, we so easily dismiss how God is going to bring comfort into our lives. We so easily dismiss the cross, and we sometimes even like to empty the cross just so it fits a little bit more into our ideologies. But tonight, we have to realize that we cannot delude ourselves any longer. We cannot sit there and think that this crime belongs to someone else. The foolishness of anti-Semitism does not fit here. We cannot say this was just some Jewish crime that occurred by ignorant people long ago. Because our sinful nature does want to blame someone. And as long as we're willing to blame someone else, we can't blame ourselves. But in the midst of our great denial of saying, I didn't put Christ upon the cross, we lose that comfort that God brings. All our past sins, all that haunts us, all that rattles the skeletons in our closets, has been put away at the cross. If you want that comfort, then we need to see ourselves in this passion. Because the truth is, if he did not die because of me on that cross, his death is no longer for me. If my sins did not nail the Christ to the cross, then I'm keeping those sins to myself. And then the devil has every single right to rattle those skeletons within my closet and torture me each and every day of my life. If his death is not my crime, then my crime is not taken away from me. If my skepticism about the divine truth was not refuted by his holy silence in the face of the ridicule of the world, then I deny the truth. If I do not call for his blood, it cannot be mine. If the blood leaking from the lashes work does not sprinkle upon me, then I am not cleansed from all sin. And if I am not set free when he was condemned, then I am still a prisoner of death, just like those skeletons in my closet would like to make me. If I am not with fear that I should never be free, I will not be free. It is suicidal if I do not confess my betrayal of his cause. If I deny that I have heard the cock crow, I will never see his face as he looks into my eyes with yearning pity. No, the sin is not theirs. The sin is mine. And if I claim the sin of putting Christ upon the cross, I also get the benefit, the forgiveness of sin and salvation. And it is this benefit the devil does not want me to have. It is this benefit that comforts me, even in the face of all my many sins that I have committed. Martin Luther reminds us, they contemplate Christ's passion aright, who view it with a terror-stricken heart and a despairing conscience. This terror must be felt as you witness the stern wrath and the unchanging earnestness with which God looks upon sin and sinners, so much that he was unwillingly to release sinners even for his only and dearest son without his payment and of the severest penalty for them. Yes, God does indeed love us. But we have to realize we were the one that caused God to love us so much that he sent his son to the cross. Yes, it was my sin that brought Jesus to the cross. I caused his death. I merit his salvation. We go through these Good Fridays every year. Every year we are focused upon the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our salvation. This is what we should be doing. Amen. But how many times does the devil like to rattle those skeletons within our closet? How many times does the devil like to bring up our past sins to haunt us? And how many times do we allow the devil to do that? this night, I want you to consider for a moment the cross, the crucifix, the corpus, the body. Because that cross as a crucifix can bring us hope. As we see our Savior nailed to that cross because of my sin, we also see our salvation. And when the devil tries to haunt us because of my sin, we look to the cross, that crucifix, and say, there is my salvation. I'm not afraid of my sin. My sin drove my Savior to the cross, and now I am forgiven. It is through his death that God's wrath is appeased. It is through his death, because my sin drove him there, that I have life. Even in my office right now, there is a crucifix. If you wander in there, you probably won't see it too quickly, because it's not necessarily designed to be in a location for you to see. It's designed to be in a location that I can see. So in the midst of talking to people on the phone, I see my Savior crucified for me. In the midst of talking with people in my office, I see my Savior crucified for me. Because the devil will use any moment, any words, to try to get us to be tripped and fall into sin. And I see my Savior there, my salvation, to remind me that is the message to be proclaimed to whoever I am talking with, whether on the phone or in my office. That is the message of salvation. Because it's just not me alone who is haunted by sin. The devil works on everyone. So this night, we remember the cross. Even though it may be gory for some prefer plain crosses because they just don't like that body dying, so to speak. I have to remember, I'm the one who put that body on the cross. And so this night we give ourselves wholly to this matter, for the main benefit of Christ's passion and death is that we see our true self as sinners, who, yes, have been terrified and crushed by sin, just as Peter was terrified and crushed by his denial. We put Jesus on the cross. But unless we seek that knowledge, unless if we realize that what we have done, we will not share in that benefit. So this night I confess, it's my sin that drove Jesus to the cross. The real and true work of Christ's passion is to change us. To realize that once we are tormented by our sin, we look to the cross. We see that forgiveness and we are set free. So tonight we look to the cross and see our Savior, the crucifix. It is not empty, but real, because my sins are not empty, but real. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.